The Raines rules are a framework that the OMB director, Frank Raines, during the Clinton administration came up with shortly after passage of the Clinger-Cohen Act, which sort of memorialized good IT management practices, some high-level management questions that really needed to be asked at federal agencies that simply weren't being asked. And they were things like, is this function a function that should remain in the government, or is it something that should be outsourced? Can we do this in-house, or should we look to a private sector source? Have we re-engineered our business processes before we buy information technology? These were all just basically good management practices that remain good management practices today. And I think there are some lessons that can be drawn if folks are willing to sort of get in the hot tub time machine and go back to 1996 and just kind of dust them off and look at them. I think there are things that would obviate some of the challenges that we see today.
And I think part of the reason you're bringing up Raines rules, and I've heard this again from several people, is the healthcare.gov debacle, the idea that this is just another part of the systemic problem that the government has faced time and again when it comes to IT programs. Is that something that when the Raines rules was first thought of, there was a series of problems, there's always been a lot of challenges, and this would help deal with those challenges, at least give people a starting point to say, are we heading down the right path?
Well, that's part of it. I think the healthcare.gov situation, because of it was so public, sort of brought to the forefront some of the challenges with IT management. I think fundamentally it boils down to really kind of understanding those business processes that you're trying to improve and in some cases automate, although the technology is not always the answer. In some cases, it's a policy or a practice that can be modified that can deliver some incredible results. So it's not always about the technology, which was the beauty of the approach that we took in the 90s and the beauty of Raines rules.
Mark, let me turn to you now. Is the Raines rules, the idea behind that, still what's missing in government from your perspective?
You have to put this in the context of the times. So remember, when the Raines rules were created, when Clinger-Cohen Act was passed, we were going through the shift from mainframe to client-server technology, which was very much about the productivity of work groups. And you had a lot of people in government experimenting, oftentimes, according to GAO, buying the technology because it was the latest, greatest. And rather than fix the underlying or modernize the underlying management issues, just go buy the technology. So Raines rules were, as the Clinger-Cohen, focused on, are we doing the right things? Are we making sure that we're not paving cow paths? Are we making sure that we're doing the business transformation, we're buying it the right way, we're managing it the right way to get the most bang for the buck out of our application of the technology to the business of government? The thing that makes it relevant now is we're in another major technology transition. In fact, we're in a confluence of multiple technology transitions. They're very disruptive, and we've got a lot of people who want to get their feet wet with these initiatives. But we also have a lot of barriers to taking advantage of those initiatives. And so bringing back something like the Raines rules is really just basic investment management practices that I think a lot of us feel ought to be applied.
One of the things that's related to this idea of Raines rules is the idea of FITARA, the Federal IT Acquisition Reform Act, that's going through Congress right now. There's a lot of thought that this could pass Congress as early as next week. From your perspective, is FITARA taking into account this idea of the Raines rules?
It puts a lot of pressure on the departmental CIO to be a gatekeeper. And I think a lot of what it takes to take advantage of technology is to understand not the technology, but the business of the agency, and then the value proposition of that technology, and, of course, how the agency has to change to adapt or adopt that new business process. So FITARA has a heavy focus on the CIO's gatekeeper because, like healthcare.gov, and there's no question that's part of the energy behind it, especially in the Senate, people are saying, wait, you know, the government's not buying the technology right. There are these horror stories. We've got to stop them. The approach that I think we're discussing here is to say, let's not focus on stopping the bad things. That's part of it, but there is a lot of value in that technology. So what do we got to do, and what is the CIO's role to take advantage of those technologies? And ultimately, I think that one of the greatest issues that we've got to figure out how FITARA is going to fix, what's the role of the CIO relative to that assistant secretary or the chief political appointee for a program area when everybody really should be focused on taking advantage of the technology, but it requires that mixture generally of business transformation for success. It's almost always going to be risky. And you can't say we're not going to take the risk, because then you're not solving the problems that the taxpayers need solved.
Paul, let me turn to you for a sec. Listeners are hearing this conversation. Someone could be in their car or at home going, well, these are just two grumpy old men who had their time in government and now are upset that their time left. Is how do you respond when someone goes, why are you bringing up 1996? Things are so different today than 1996 when Clinger-Cohen was passed, which is one of the reasons why I think there is this push for the FITARA.
Oh, sure, and I would understand that. It wouldn't be the first time I've been accused of being a grumpy old man. But in any event, I think the similarities are remarkable. The problems are exactly the same problems. I mean, it was ironic. I was at a Defense Business Council meeting one day, and McKinsey was up doing an analysis on some of the challenges that we've had in the department around ERP deployment. And it was funny, thematically, everything that they were talking about, the upfront planning challenges, the requirements challenges, the shifting requirements challenges as well, all of those things were delineated in the computer chaos report that we issued in October 1994. So I asked one of my staffers to go and dig out this blue-covered report from 1994, dust it off, literally, and hand it to me. And I handed it to the chairman of the DBC, and she took a look at it and said, yeah, these are exactly what just got briefed by McKinsey as to why we had challenges with the ERP deployments. So it's not new. This is not new. We've been at this rodeo before, and I think it would behoove us to embrace those lessons learned in the past and maybe dust some of those practices off that we were trying to promote but got lost over time today.
And Mark, I'm going to give you the similar question, but a little bit of a twist. And I think Paul addressed it a little bit. Did somewhere in between the late 90s when Clinger-Cohen was passed and implemented in 2013, did something get lost? Did agencies lose their way in terms of the management practices? Or are things just that much more complex today?
Yes and yes. So things are definitely more complex. We are in another round of disruption. But I also think things got lost. A number of management practices and tools were put in place in the Clinton and Bush administrations were eroded. Now, people viewed this as they do with FISMA and the business cases, Exhibit 300s, and they still view it as a compliance process. It takes an awful lot of management acumen to get the folks to understand that this is really about innovation and how government can do its work better. You can't legislate good management. You can create cover for people who are trying to do the right thing and getting held up. You can remove those constraints through legislation. But what this takes is a carrot and stick approach, I think, and that's fundamentally the trend. If you look at what's happening in any information-intensive organization, you've got to give that carrot to people who are willing to innovate, and you've got to use a stick to the people who are the bearers to innovation or the bearers to doing it right. But by the same token, what you're trying to do is steer the people to effective use, to take the risks where it makes sense, calculated risk, to do the work, to figure out, here are my alternatives. This is the best because here's what I got to do to manage it. And at the end of the day, I think it's very simple in government. It's about reducing cycle time. Can government act faster? Can it change course? Can it find its own problems and solve them faster?